Open your Bibles this morning, please, to Luke chapter 2. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been in Luke. And we've been examining this sequence of events here in Luke regarding the birth of the Savior. And so now we're up to the part where Jesus has been born, and so we'll begin in verse 21, after the birth of the Lord. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. So, they took him to the temple. The law required that he go to the temple. They were supposed to bring sacrifices, and if you were kind of on the poor side, you were allowed to bring these two birds, and one could be sacrificed for a burnt offering, the other one for a sin offering, and thus satisfy the Lord. And if your child was not going to be dedicated to the service of the temple, then you would pay a 5 shekel fee, which I read that was interesting, that 5 shekels was the equivalent of the 20 pieces of silver that Joseph's brothers got for him when they peddled him off to the Ishmaelites. So I thought that was interesting. And we have a couple of more crossover pieces to our message on Joseph and the coat of many colors. This person here that we're concerned with today, Simeon, that was waiting in the temple. And there are a couple of things we wanted to bring out there that... In verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That was very important there, that he was waiting. And we find he praised God for this, what was revealed to him. And as it was brought out Wednesday night in the Bible study, most people were aware that this was the time they expected the Messiah, because of what was recorded in Daniel and the appearance of John the Baptist and other things, the messenger that would prepare the way. They kind of thought, well, this is kind of the time that we're expecting him. And in Daniel 9:25, from the going forth of the commandment to restore to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 3 score and 2 weeks. And then after that, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So they were aware of these scriptures, and God was not working in secret. He gave plenty of scriptures that said the Messiah is coming, and in our Bible sermon last week on Joseph and the coat of many colors, how he was a type of Christ, and he foreshadowed a lot of things that foretold the coming of the Savior, and the promise of a Savior was given from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain, the promise was given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses, to David, to all the prophets. And Isaiah said that the Lord will give you a sign, therefore a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And here Simeon said, he's here. The Lord said, I won't die before I see the Lord's Christ. And I remember before our pastor departed for Panama, left us all alone. He said, you know, that's something that every Christian, every born-again believer can say. They'll not die before they see the Lord's Christ. He'll reveal them to them. And certainly was true for Simeon, and it's true for every believer. And most especially, it was known to God's people as he revealed himself through the Son that there was a need for a Savior. That's what they were waiting for. Christ, the Savior. And a daysman who could lay a hand on us both. The day spring from on high is called in these scriptures that we've been looking at. A horn of salvation, the bread of life. Isaiah 53:5 said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah had a very clear picture of why we need a Savior. The Savior, the Messiah, who is Christ the Lord, is what it says in verse 11 of this chapter, as we look back in chapter 2. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he was declared to be perfectly qualified. All the law was performed regarding him from the time of his birth. And we just read those scriptures where they waited the time that the law dictated, that there was a time of after the birth you're to be circumcised. The mother had to go through a period of purification, and now they bring him to the temple as required by the law. So all the law regarding him was fulfilled perfectly. And he was presented, and here we're introduced to a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna. We'll probably not get to her today, but he's declared to be, Simeon is declared by the Holy Spirit to be a just man and devout, waiting in Jerusalem for the consolation of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought it was interesting that if we look back to the book of Genesis, remember our last week we were talking about Joseph and the coat of many colors and the grace that it displayed and all the things regarding him. And we learn in Genesis 35:23 that there was a son of Israel, of Jacob, named Simeon, the same name. And we find in Genesis chapter 45, verse 26, that when Jacob said, when he learned that his son was alive, he said to his sons, including Simeon, "I'll go and see him before I die." And then he said in 46:10, I've seen my son, I can die. And Simeon now kind of quotes a little bit of that in his song of praise to God when he blessed God for the consolation of Israel, and we'll dwell on that a little bit here in a minute. But he's quoting all these things that he says, or he's quoting the Old Testament, four or five scriptures from Isaiah and Genesis. And I just couldn't help get over the, I said, well, that's just not coincidence that we have two Simeons. They're both talking about the same thing. The Lord promised that I wouldn't die before I saw the Lord's Christ. And as Joseph was a type of Christ, his father said, I've seen my son is yet alive. Now I can die. And we can say that too. That Christ is yet alive. He's risen for our justification. And so this same Christ that had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he says, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And so now, as noted earlier, that what our pastor said about it's true of every believer can say that not one of the Lord's sheep will he lose. Not one shall see death before they're born again believers, and Christ is revealed to them as all their salvation. So important to have that revelation brought to us. And I was thinking of a little bit later, as we get into the book of Luke, we find this a woman described as having an issue of blood. 12 years she suffered with this malady. And she spent all her living on physicians and remedies, and nothing worked. In Luke chapter 8, verse 43, she spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. She came up, when Jesus was walking by, she came up behind and touched the border of his garment, the garment that we talked about in our first message on the fabric of grace. Just touched the hem of his garment, and her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" You're just like in a mob here, you know. But he knew something, that one of his sheep had come to him. And the woman, when she saw she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. And she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And we were kind of talking about this before services this morning, about this issue of faith. It wasn't her faith that caused her to do what she did. It was her faith in God being able to do something about the problem that she had. The total reliance on Christ for salvation is what we define faith as. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, that in the free willism scheme of salvation, it would seem that this woman kind of did works to that resulted in the Lord reacting to what she did. But if we really look at it, a closer examination reveals that she tried everything she could on her own to resolve this issue, and it had no effect. It didn't work. It just led her to disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And then something happens that causes her to come to Christ, to turn to Him and to abandon her own methods and schemes to try and get well. And it's just a classic example of what Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And this woman, she did come to Him. And He says, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. To her, Christ was the consolation of Israel. Now this word consolation here in verse 25 that we're talking about, we have kind of a modern day connotation that we attach to that word consolation. Consolation in our vernacular nowadays is something you get if you don't win the big prize. And it doesn't really have that meaning in the Greek, and it's a very interesting word. That it's a word that means comfort, that means deliverer. It's comfort in the specific sense of rescue, help, or deliverance. One definition of it. And it, sometimes it's translated as exhortation. It's really talking about the gospel. We have an example of Luke chapter 3, if we get around to that one of these days. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John the Baptist is speaking, and he says, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. He was just giving them the gospel. And so we find this word consolation translated in this case in Luke as exhortation. But in the Greek, the word is the noun paraklesis, and it's closely akin to the noun parakletos, which we have defined for us or translated for us as the comforter. They're kind of the same word, just used in it, whether it's something that is applied or someone that's applying it. It's the only real difference between the two words. And Charles Spurgeon, he put it so well. He said, the Holy Ghost is the comforter, but Christ is the comfort. He just summed it all up so well. You know, he said, the Holy Spirit is the physician, but Christ is the medicine that is applied. And that word in another form is called parakaleo, and it's the root word to both of these words that we just were looking at, the comfort and consolation and comforter. And the root word of it is to call near. And we have plenty of evidence of that, of the Holy Spirit calling the sheep and bringing them to Christ through the gospel. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, the Parakletos, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He in another scripture in John, he says, the Comforter is going to testify of me, not of himself. He's going to tell about me. I am the comfort. I am the consolation of Israel. I am the comfort. And he came, gave up his glory above, came, took on himself the form of flesh, and he came to live with man and then to die for and in the place of the elect, or the church, or the sheep, or whatever term we want to use. he's being dedicated in the temple as we read this. And this song of Simeon brought forth to the glory of God. He blessed God and said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now let us thy servant depart in peace, which thou hast prepared before all the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So he's projecting ahead of time all of the things that are going to be a result of this baby that he has in his arms, a prophesying that he came for the purpose of dying. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 says, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I'll declare my name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church I'll sing praise unto thee, and I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. Here's that word we find again. The comfort of Israel is the deliverer. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The deliverer. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And so we see the consolation, the deliverer of Israel, which is another name for the church. The Lord Jesus Christ sent specifically to comfort God's people by the sacrifice of his own self in their behalf, as was foretold countless times in Scripture. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, Isaiah 51, verse 1. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you're hewn, unto the hole of the pit where you're digged. Look unto Abraham your father and Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Notice all these things that God does for his people. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her a wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Comfort ye, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably unto Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. That's a comfort. That is a consolation, not a second prize. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Each valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. To those whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed, you know, Isaiah, he said, man, who has believed our report? We keep telling them about this comfort, about relief for the things that they're afflicted by. But to those whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed, they're comforted by this, where they couldn't really find any relief in anything else, just like that woman. She tried all the other stuff, and she just had to, she just was kind of like religion. She just went from one doctor to the next doctor, to the next doctor, to the next doctor, and they relieved her of her cash and gave her some magic beans to swallow. And then it didn't work. And then she was called, she was drawn. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. So she was drawn to this Savior that was thronged by a multitude, and she worked her way through them and said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just have a crumb, it would be enough. Brought to that realization, faith, that total reliance in him to take care of her problem. Nothing added, nothing removed from this message of good news. And the result is we praise God, not our own selves, for our own good works, which yield nothing but disappointment and failure. Not of works, lest any man should boast, it says. Or not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Simeon, he waited for the consolation of Israel. In the scriptures, he was as good as there. But he said, now I have him in my hands. He sang this song, which was composed really from verses from the Old Testament. He took him up in his arms and blessed God. Now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And we learned earlier that that came from Genesis chapter 46, verse 30, as Israel, the new name that Jacob was given for the name of the church. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary's mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. How prophetic was that? Genesis 46:30, and Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. The death, burial, and resurrection. Isaiah 52:9 says, break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah 42:6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. To open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, to deliver them from the bondage that they've always been in. And then that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Isaiah 46:13, I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. The comfort of Israel, the comfort of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be testified of in the hearts of his church by the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, who testified that Jesus has accomplished all this for us. When he comes, he's going to speak of, he's going to testify of me. John 15:26. When the Comforter comes, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He shall not testify of stuff you need to do. He's going to testify of Christ. And I just keep coming back to Isaiah 61, because the Comforter, he dispenses a lot of stuff. He dispenses a knowledge of sin in people, and then he dispenses the medicine that takes care of them. In Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and we learned that Jesus read this scripture, and I think in Luke chapter 7 he reads this in the temple and the synagogue, wherever he was, he read that. They gave him a book and he opened it to that page and he read this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Well, you know, the Spirit, he's the one that makes us brokenhearted over our sin. When he gives us the new heart and we're born again, and when we see our own ways and that we're not good, we're kind of brokenhearted about it. But he gives us the comfort. He binds that up. To proclaim liberty to the captives. All our lives, we come to the realization that all our lives we are captives to this sin nature. And now we're at liberty. Now we're free. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to put something in its place. To give them beauty for ashes. That application of that comfort by the Holy Spirit, where they had ashes, that now they have the beauty of Christ. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that for the purpose that he might be glorified. So we're out of time for today, and we'll stop there, but next time we'll probably take a little more closer look at a light. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Thank you for your attention, and as always, if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed.